Our Lord Jesus, as we stand here, remembering the miracle of the gift of your life, the gift of your birth, the fulfillment of prophecy coming together to bring salvation to a world deeply, deeply in need of it. This morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us and empower us to speak a confession that's true. Scripture teaches us, Lord, that it's by your grace that we're even empowered to confess our sins. By the work of your Spirit that we get honest with ourselves, where we look sincerely and recognize there is nothing in us, Lord, but everything comes from your mercy and your grace. And so we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, Lord, and we have sinned against you in thought and in word and deed. Today, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd make those words so real in our lives so that we are emptied out of the self and the arrogance and the pride that tries to justify our behaviors or find value in the things that we have done successfully. And instead, Lord, help us to be emptied out so that we can be filled up with a treasure that will not wear out. Lord, receive our confession, and Lord, forgive us our sins because of your grace, your mercy, and the truth of your gospel. We pray that in your name, Lord. Amen. As God has heard your prayer, you stand before him. You speak the truth over your heart. Forgiveness is a work of God's cross in Jesus Christ. Our heart that fills and is filled with a love for you and I, that speaks to you right now, that upon this your confession, you have been forgiven. Let the mercy of God fill your heart. Let the joy of the Holy Spirit minister to you right now and be filled with his presence and his joy. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading comes from Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And then Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons, because you are sons of God, then the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. This ends the reading.
For you. It ties you into the genealogies found in both Matthew and Luke. I thought this would be much nicer to listen to than for me to read 53 names and everyone debate the pronunciation. All right? But listen to the message, because those are not in there by accident, and those are just as important as anything else God has put in Scripture. Here we go.
In Jeremiah 23:5, as well as in other Bible prophecies, we are told that the Messiah would be a descendant of King David. The New Testament books of Matthew and Luke trace back Jesus' genealogy to King David. The Gospel of Matthew and Luke describe the birth of Jesus and gives us reason to be thankful and a reason to rejoice and celebrate this joyous time of year. The events associated with the birth of Jesus fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies that were given centuries before they were described in Matthew and Luke. Matthew 1:22 introduces a common statement in his work. He wrote,
"So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet."
He used this phrasing in at least a dozen passages. Matthew knew it was important to point out to his readers that many of the events he described fulfilled specific prophecies. The prophecies about the Messiah were not a bunch of scattered predictions randomly placed throughout the Old Testament, but they were formed a unified promise and plan from God. Because of sin, we were disconnected from our loving Creator, and He wanted us back.
Jeremiah 23:5, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land."
The Messiah's coming was not a secret left in a corner, but the repeated revelation of God to His people in the Old Testament. The Messiah would be the offspring of a woman and would crush the head of Satan.
Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
He would come from the offspring of Abraham and would bless all the nations on earth.
Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you."
He would be a prophet like Moses, to whom God said, "We must listen."
Deuteronomy 18:15, "For the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always."
He would be born in Bethlehem.
Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small and among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from days of old, from ancient times."
He would be born of a virgin.
Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
He would have a throne, a kingdom, and a dynasty or house, starting with King David, that would last forever.
2 Samuel 7:16-17, "Your house and kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported all this to David, all the words of this entire revelation. And Isaiah 11:1-12, "A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decision for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be on his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, with goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as the banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand to a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nation and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah and from the four quarters of the earth.
Many people during Advent adorn a tree with ornaments that illustrate the people, prophets, and events leading up to the birth of Jesus. The ornaments of the Jesse tree tell the story of God in the Old Testament, connecting the lineage of the promise of the Savior with the faithfulness of God across 4,000 years of history. O root of Jesse, standing as an ensign before the peoples, before whom the nations will do homage, come quickly to deliver us.
The history of God's people began with Abraham and Sarah when God asked them to go to a new country and to be God's people. God promised as many children as stars in the sky. God promised to be with them, to be their God.
Angel, Abraham's servant, found Rebekah, who offered the servant a drink from his camels. He took her home, and when Sarah approved, Isaac married her. The water jug shows God's promise to continue Abraham's family.
Isaac and Rebekah had twins, Jacob and Esau, who were rivals for the family blessing. Jacob had a dream about a ladder with angels and with God at the top, telling Jacob he would receive the family land. The ladder symbolizes a dream and God's promise of blessing.
Joseph was given a beautiful coat by his father Jacob. Joseph's jealous brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. He grew to be second in command to Pharaoh. During a great famine, Joseph's family came to Egypt, and he was able to feed them and forgive them.
Judah was a son of Jacob. Tamar, a foreigner, was widowed by two of Judah's sons. Later, Tamar had twins by Judah. Tamar used Judah's walking stick to prove the genealogy which kept the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob alive, according to God's promise.
Rahab, an innkeeper in Jericho and mother of Boaz, fed and housed people on journeys. One time she helped some Hebrew men, spies for Joshua, escape authorities using a scarlet cord out of her window. They promised to save her family because she believed in the Lord.
Left Moab with her mother-in-law, Naomi. They cleaned in the wheat fields of Boaz. Wheat is her symbol. Ruth showed loyalty and love in Naomi, a family story most likely passed on to Jesus. Ruth married Boaz, had a child, Obed, who was the father of Jesse.
Jesse was a farmer with eight sons who were born in Bethlehem. The youngest was David, a shepherd boy whom God told Samuel to anoint to be king. Jesse was called the stump from which a new branch would spring. 1,000 years later, Jesus was born into this family.
David and Bathsheba were parents of Solomon. Despite David taking Bathsheba, having her husband killed, David listened to God, asked for God's forgiveness and guidance. He was skilled in shepherding, playing the harp, pitching rocks with a sling, being a king, and writing poetry and psalms.
Solomon was David's son and gave God Solomon. Great gift. Great wisdom and understanding. During his reign, the magnificent temple and court were built in Jerusalem. The temple reminds us of Solomon, his wisdom, which so many people sought in the place of worship he built.
Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah after the kingdom was divided because of bad leadership. He sent Levite priests to the country to teach and guide people and judges to discern what God wanted. He gave people a safe place to live, made sure they knew the stories of their ancestors. His symbol is a scroll.
Influenced by the prophet Isaiah, was king of Judah in 700 BCE. He abolished local shrines and purified the Jerusalem temple. He built a tunnel to direct water from a spring outside the Jerusalem wall to an underground cistern. The fresh water supply kept Jerusalem safe from the Assyrians.
Josiah, king of Judah from 640 to 609 BCE, was crowned king as an 8-year-old. Gradually, he eliminated idolatry and brought centralized worship back to the temple in Jerusalem. His high priest found the lost book of law, and Josiah had it read to the people, which provided hope.
When Zechariah was a priest, prayed for a child, an angel told him not to be afraid, that he and Elizabeth would have a son, John, who would prepare the way for the Lord. When Elizabeth was pregnant, she took care of her pregnant cousin Mary. Praying hands are their symbol.
An angel appeared to Joseph, a carpenter, in a dream, telling him not to fear to take Mary as his wife. Joseph, a descendant of David, is admired for his trust in God and his love for Mary. The saw represents Joseph, a carpenter.
When Jesus was born, Mary, called handmaid of God, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. In Jesus' birth, God became one with people. The manger points to the birthplace of Christ.
Finally, Jesus would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and would possess an everlasting kingdom.
Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.